All right, My Moss Project, welcome back to After Show 128, second After Show of all time in the studio. Last week, we put the After Show on Instagram TV for the first time. And you know, I actually got a lot of views. Yeah, got a lot of views. I don't know if that's Instagram saying, hey, like, use Instagram TV more, like, we'll reward you the first time. And, like, you know, they're just going to cut viewership in the next one. But, hey, look, we're going to capitalize on what's hot. So, we're going to upload more of these after shows to, I guess we'll upload them to YouTube now that we've got a bit more of a better camera setup, as you can see. But yeah, I guess we can also upload them to Instagram TV as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're big fans of long form.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool that they do have a long form version on Insta now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they make it really easy. For those of you who don't know, or those of you who post content stuff, is like, you can upload the Instagram TV videos from your computer. You don't have to, like, get it onto your phone and then upload from your phone, which is super annoying. But guys, look, we've had a great first week in the studio. We had our first Skype podcast with Eric Goodman. We had Rob Lipset in person. We had Joe Delaney in person, two big global fitness influencers from the UK, which are really different personalities, hey?
Yes.
But
I don't know if that's a standard difference between Ireland and England. They were fucking different. I can see why they're separate countries.
Yeah. And it's only a 25-minute plane ride. Yeah.
Not drive, we found out.
Yeah, because the big body of water in the middle. So yeah, look, we had a really good first week. We also had Nerida from a women's only gym.
Lissom.
Lissom. So yeah, look, it's been really fun. And look, we have big plans for the US coming up. We have some awesome sponsorship partnerships potentially in the works. Plenty of more to come. But just know this is the year of the MMP.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's called the YMP, Year of MMP. YMM. No, you know what? It doesn't work. Anyway, we're excited. Guys, what you should be excited about as well, there's about 3 days left on the biggest giveaway that we've ever done. The MMP giveaway, mymuscleproject.com/giveaway. We're giving away $1,500 of prizes from our sponsorships, True Protein, True Coach, Waterfy, Beyond Macros. All these companies have chipped in. We have chipped in as well. We're giving away training journals and apparel. So if you go to that link, themymuscleproject.com/giveaway, you just enter yourself into the draw. Super easy, super simple. And you guys can win yourself a shitload of stuff potentially. Mm. There's going to be three winners. So, you know, you've got some good chances. And good
And you can do as many as you want. So even you've like already entered, you can get more entries. Basically go in there, you do like you do stuff, you share stuff, you put in your email and you basically get more entries. So you can increase your chance of winning.
So, you can just go full gangster, yeah, and just try and win.
Guarantee giveaway. Your winnings.
That's right. Get your family involved. Get your friends involved. TheMyMossProject.com/giveaway. So, this week, we are going to do listener questions. It went really well last week. We have sent off, what did he order? I think he ordered a medium muscle tank. Master.
Oh, the winner from last week?
The Master Brownie last week. He submitted a really cool question in regards to, what were we doing? Oh, it was losing muscle and gaining fat, I think it was, or something about
injury. Yeah, we had the injury. Changing your training.
That's right. Changing your training in relation to injury, which is super cool. This week, we're going to do more listener questions. We found them really fun and enjoyable to answer, which we'll get into. And then we're just going to finish with an unpaid product review. We're going to skip a documentary this week for you guys, but we'll have more for you next week. But this product is extremely exciting, and we are going to have an interview with someone related to this product very shortly as well in the studio. So we're pumped about that. So let's get into the first listener questions. So this one was submitted by A.Maltsev31. A.Maltsev31
asks... They're making it hard for us.
That's right. A.Maltsev31 asks, question for the podcast. How do you motivate your friends and family to work out without sounding like a dick? Go for it, Raph.
Well, there's no reason you can't sound like a dick. That's the first thing.
That's the easy part.
So, I would first just question that that presupposition in the question. But I do think it is a very worthwhile venture trying to get them to work out because generally it makes things way more fun. Like, in general, for the rest of your life, if they get into working out, it's like something you can do together. And if you ever do travel together, you're not like the annoying person going to work out. So, I think one of the best things I've ever done is get the rest of my family working out. I got my brother into CrossFit. Now, my dad actually comes to our CrossFit gym as well, into a seniors class. So, really depends if it's talking about your siblings or your parents. If I'm going to start with siblings, I think the biggest mistake I learned was trying to bring them to exercise is never going to work. they've got to find a way to like want to go themselves. Likely, almost 100% separate to you. I don't know how you feel about that, but if you try and always bring them yourself, they're just going to feel like they're going to go and like lose to you, and that's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
So they're probably never going to come.
Yeah, I think the working out part, without sounding like a dick, is you always know what you want to say, right? You're you, so you know what you want to tell them, right? You want to tell them it's the best thing ever and you lose fat and you build muscle, blah, blah, blah. But how it works is you got to hear what they have to say first. So ask 15 questions before you tell them anything. You know, why did you stop working out? How do you feel about the current state of your health? Or like, do you get pain in the morning? Or how is your energy during the day? If you just like ask and you listen, by the time you go to speak, you may not even have to speak. They may have already sold themselves based off the questions. And that's like a really masterful way to sort of communicate with people. And it's essentially the process we take people through when they come to the gym, when they come to Creatures. It's just lots of questions on our end just to figure out a lot of different things, but ultimately to find out, okay, what was it in the past, if they did work out, that's stopping them, or if they are working out now that they're not enjoying, and do I have the solution for them? Because look, you may get to a point where you ask so many questions that you get to the point you realize like, holy shit, maybe this person isn't the right fit for whatever solution I had in mind.
Yeah.
They might want something else. But if you're just like pushing CrossFit, you may realize, oh, this person tried CrossFit 2 years ago. This person tried bodybuilding 3 years ago and they got really injured, or they hated it. They had a really negative experience. So why don't I look into yoga for them or something like that? So, well, what do they really want to do? A question could be, is there any form of exercise which, you know, looks most appealing to you on, you know, do you follow, you know, certain pages, or have you tried stuff and you really enjoyed it before, but for whatever reason, maybe you traveled or you got busy, you didn't have time to commit to it. Like, what have you really enjoyed in the past? And look, the answer can be anything. Sport, walking the dog, fucking running on the beach, you know, swimming, whatever it might be. Movement is the medicine. It's not, you know, our way is the best way. Obviously, there are just better ways to do it. But if you're talking friends and family, friends, I guess, a little bit different, but, you know, family, you're talking parents, you're talking grandparents, brothers, sisters, some of them, you know, have no plans on ever going to a gym, and how can you help them the most? It doesn't have to be CrossFit, or it doesn't have to be bodybuilding or powerlifting, whatever you do. It can just be the most simple thing, and build from there. Build from there. See how they go.
Yeah, if I reflect on some success I've had as well, sometimes you can just completely forget about the working out and just, if they're open to it, help them with their diet.
Mm-hmm.
Because often, like, I mean, they're already eating. And people often like, oh, yeah, like, I am really confused. Like, I would love to know, like, what is the best thing? And if you can help them there and they see results, that can be one of the best things. Because they, like, make their first steps. You help them with their nutrition. They actually lose a few kilos of fat. And all of a sudden, they're like, it's fucking sick. And then they're like, what's the next thing?
Mm.
And they're often in a way better place because they're, like, got more energy. They're, like, a bit less inflamed. Maybe they're a bit lighter. And they're actually in a better position to come train. So, I wouldn't try and like make the first thing like, okay, I'm going to get him to the gym and like test his Fran, because it's probably going to end badly.
Yeah.
But if you can get them some results already, they're probably going to be way more open to what you have to say.
Definitely. Yeah. And just to come back to the dick part, if you just ask and you listen, no one in the history of mankind has asked lots of questions, listened intently, and the other person got on and said, you know what, that person's a fucking dick. It's just not a scenario that can happen on this earth. So that is what we recommend. Ask questions, listen before you speak.
Yes.
So thank you for the question. Next question is from Tommy O'Looker. I think there's more to it there, but it's
like an Irish name, O'Looker, like O'Connor.
Maybe there's like an A dot, dot, dot. So like I can't see the rest of the tag. But if you type in Tommy O'Looker, you get most of the way there.
Okay.
So Tommy asks two questions. First one, chiropractors, are they snake oilsmen? The modern day snake oilsmen?
Yes.
And then second question also, does dairy give people acne? So interesting questions. Let's get after the chiropractors one first. Now, we do work with a lot of chiropractors. We have worked with a lot of chiropractors. We've trained with them. We've done business with them. We've got treated by them over the years. give us your thoughts. Give us a bit of a story on maybe different chiropractors.
Okay, I'll give you a story on. So they're obviously not Snake Oldsmen, but there is a big variation in chiropractors.
Big time.
And I found out, and I think if you haven't had this experience, you won't understand why chiropractors have such a bad rap in some circles. I got an invitation like, oh, this new chiropractor is near our gym. Like, want to, you know, come for free and test it out. And if you think it's good, you can tell your members. So I'm like, sweet. So I go down for this chiropractor. And it was such a horrific experience. I basically lay down. And I think at the time, she was like, oh, do you have any injuries? I'm like, yeah, my knee hurts.
How old were you then? Hurt.
Oh, like, this was back when we had patella tendonitis.
Oh, so okay.
Around when we first
5 years ago regionals. Or something?
Probably 2015, so maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I had some knee pain, obviously, because I was doing CrossFit. And she just, like, got this weird gun thing that was meant to, like...
Oh, the clicker.
Shoot you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the biggest joke. She was like, oh, so your right leg is, like, is longer than your left leg. I'm like, really? She's like, yep. And then she shoots this gun, like, 3 times and goes, it's fixed now. And I was like, I don't think I ever had a problem. Like, and she just continually did this around my body. Like, oh, I can see this massive problem with your neck. Boom, 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 boom. Shooting the gun. That's fixed. She was just, like, creating these bullshit problems. Shooting me with the gun. It was no different. No difference, anything. She's like, you should feel this. And it was like, all this, it was like, you know, it might not get better right now, but it might get in the long run, or it might get better right now. So I'm like, pretty much any outcome, she was correct.
Mm.
But that was like the biggest joke I've ever experienced. So if it's a chiropractor like that, and they're just like shooting you with a gun, I really think it is bullshit in my experience with that. And I did ask some other chiropractors and they thought it was pretty average, that thing, but also very widespread.
Mm. I think that's actually more common than not. I think the chiropractors that we work with now are like employing more techniques. I think the traditional techniques are like the gun and the cracking and that sort of thing. Because when I was growing up, we used to go to a chiropractor, which as I've started to learn now, I think we were pretty unique in that way, going to a chiropractor nearly on a weekly basis. My dad used to take us.
Oh, really? Yeah. The whole family?
Yeah, the whole family.
To get what done?
Yeah, yeah. So to what I'm about to tell you. But
crazy.
Yeah, like I thought it was just normal. Like, oh, everyone sees the chiropractor and stuff. And man, like we just would, this chiropractor, obviously a good salesman, has convinced my parents that.
They are good salesmen.
Yeah, we need like a weekly adjustment was the thing, right? And so this guy, how he operated, and you know, as I got to learn more or meet and build relationships with chiropractors in the industry later in life, you know, a lot of people didn't like this guy.
Mm.
Yeah, I actually found out.
This individual guy.
This individual, yeah, and his practice. He's actually very successful from a business perspective. I'm about to explain why. And I think a lot of people dislike him for his business model. Mm. So he kind of has like this business where he's able to put a lot of people through his clinic at a very high price, at a very quick rate with the methods that he used. So for example, he would go in. And look, this is back then, so he may have changed his methods now, and I don't really know. But back then, it was literally a 15-minute appointment. He would get you in on the table. The whole family would stand in there, and we'd do, you know, each child at a time, and then the parents. And his assistant would stand there, and with her, it was like a sheet of paper with, you know, a diagram of a body with the spine running through it. And all the different numbers, you know, C1 to whatever, C3 and T and L and S and whatever. And he would literally just like run his hands down my body and he'd go, oh yeah, C1, C3. And then he'd just like do a crack.
Yeah.
He'd run his hand. Yeah. L1, S5. Do a crack. Walk up. Then he'd be like, all right, sit up. Look to the left. Look to the right. And then like do another adjustment. And you get cracked somewhere between 5 to 6 times. And then he'd get you to stand up. He'd look at you and be like, and then he'd say something to the woman. She's like, all done. Next. And so our whole family would go through, you know, 4 or 5 people in probably somewhere between 20 to 30 minutes. And then we'd walk out and it was done. And the lobby was packed every single time. Crazy. And there was 3 rooms and the same thing was just happening. And like, from what I know now, it was fucking a money-making machine, yeah. But nothing was getting fixed. And you never felt better because it's not like you can just crack your back on a foam roll. Because I would remember, I would go out into the lobby and I would you know, you're a kid, you're jumping around and you're doing stupid shit. And then my back would crack again. I go, oh no, I ruined the adjustment. How could you ruin it that quickly? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. And so I know later when my parents were going to see him at another point, he made a mistake and he actually misdiagnosed cancer. So he's not diagnosing cancer, but there was an issue and he diagnosed it as something else and it turned out to be cancer. I don't want to go into the details too much. Look, everyone's fine now. All things are sorted and safe, which is, you know, very, very grateful for that. But yeah, like to dismiss something so that is potentially so serious as like, oh no, it was just this thing, that's fine, don't worry about it.
And it ended up being cancer.
Yeah, because the pain persisted. He was like, no, it's fine, it's just this thing. Like, he was just like, don't worry about it, come in, do an adjustment, get out. And you know, then eventually my mom was like, you know, this is getting really serious. Mm. Like, I need to find out what this was. And then it turned out this and that. So you can't blame them fully, but also, you know, it's part of their responsibility as a health practitioner to be like, okay, I can't fix this problem. It's looking like it's a little more serious based off what you're saying. You need to go to another professional, not just being like, I'll keep trying to fix it. I can't fix it. So look, in any industry, there are always people that will fuck with the system and do a terrible job and make a bad name for everyone. You know, CrossFit coaches, CrossFit gyms, you can easily point a finger at them. Chiropractors, you can point a finger at them. Physios, look, no one is safe. Mm. Surgeons aren't safe. Doctors aren't safe. No one is safe. For whatever reason, chiropractors like CrossFit gyms have just had a bit of a stigma for a long time, and it's just been hard to shake. Our most recent experience, as we become more knowledgeable, you know, in the information age where you guys have access to shows like this and other shows and, you know, good YouTube content and all that sort of stuff, you know what a good chiropractor is. You know, they employ multiple different methods, from dry needling to, you know, functional range conditioning to rehab exercises, to joint manipulations and that sort of thing, to massage and ART and all that stuff. And that is a good way to kind of just find, you know, quality in the industry. You're always going to have garbage. You just need to search for quality just with the information you have.
Yeah, the biggest problem is when they just have one thing they always are going to do.
Yeah.
So like whether I'd walked into that lady with a hurt knee, which I did have, or a rolled ankle, or like chronic back pain, she was shooting this gun no matter what.
Yeah.
That's all she was doing.
Yeah.
Like that's a joke.
Yeah. 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 One tool to fix everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's bad. Bad form. Okay. Last part to this question, or second question from this person is, does dairy give you acne?
100%.
100. Well, it's obvious.
Within minutes.
The answer is individualized, right?
Yeah.
Dairy does not give me acne. Does dairy give you acne?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know dairy for sure causes gut issues in people, right? That are lactose intolerant, and some people who aren't lactose intolerant. Or if you've taken a long break from dairy and you come back to it, obviously the lactase enzyme has been like downregulated, so it needs to upregulate again to digest dairy. So if you go and have a big bowl of ice cream, you haven't eaten dairy in 6 months, it's going to give you issues.
I have seen people get pimples from dairy in the past. So it definitely is a thing, but there's clearly other reasons you can get it as well.
Yeah.
Because I don't think every teenager that starts drinking dairy is 16.
No. I mean, acne is... I'm not a dermatologist, but...
Obviously, have a crack though.
Yeah, okay. I had serious acne when I was younger. Like, fucking bad acne. I actually took something that...
like dries out your skin though.
Yeah, it's called Roaccutane. Yeah. In America, I believe it's called Accutane. And it's like... it's basically like when your acne is like... fucked.
Yeah. When there's more acne than skin.
Yeah. This is like the ultimate treatment. This is like the nuke. This is like chemotherapy for your skin.
It makes it go super dry.
Bro, it is so bad for you that when I was taking it, so I took it for, I think the original plan was 6 months and it ended up being like 9 months or 10 months.
Because you drank so much milk. Fucking idiot. That was all you were doing wrong. Like, swallowing down working, these pills with
should
milk.
Should be working by now. How much dairy are you drinking? Fuck. Yeah, so I was taking it and eventually it gets to the point, you know, where there's so much of the drug in your system and it's built up and it dries you out heaps, right? To the point that in the morning, if I like crunch my face, my skin would flake. That's how bad it was. It was like a fucking...
gross.
Yeah, it was like a dried... crazy. Like a dried lake, like a forest, like a bed of crusty leaves and you just crunch the leaves and they just flake. Yeah, it was fucked. And but that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was that's when I started to want to get into lifting weights and I was really keen. I was learning about it. But your joints are so dried out, you can't lift weights.
Yeah.
I couldn't even... there was a point where I was playing soccer and it was like... I just remember it. We always play soccer in winter, so it's cold. And I thought like I couldn't warm up. I'm like, the fuck, I'm like super stiff. Mm. Like, you know when... you like wake up out of bed and someone like tell you to get up and go for a run. You kind of, your legs don't really work underneath you. You're kind of a bit clumsy and your joints just don't feel awake yet. You just don't feel that sharp. That is how my body felt. And I could not get out of it. I could not go into a full sprint. Could not pivot. Could not turn. I could basically only slow jog and I could walk. So I just stood in the middle of the field and would just jog within the circle, and I would receive a ball, pass, and then pass it to the next person. I couldn't run. Mm. I could not sprint. Like I literally could not accelerate hard. It's not like I could, but it hurt. I couldn't. Mm. I don't know what it was. It was the weirdest feeling ever. And so basically the only sport I could do was swimming that I could like do properly.
Easy on the joints.
Yeah. But the issue was that the only pool I had access to, the squad that I was in, was North Sydney Pool. It's the old Olympic pool. For those of you who don't live in Australia or Sydney, know it's a salt water pool. Mm. Salt water on like heavily chlorinated salt water with really dry skin. I would jump in and the burning on my skin, it would take 5 or 6 minutes for the burning to stop. And then when it stopped, I was like numb. So it was a horrific experience. It wasn't related to dairy, but...
You don't know that for sure.
I don't know that for sure. But look, I think that, yeah, if dairy is causing you some kind of gut issue, that may be linked to some kind of inflammation, yeah, hormonal reaction in your skin.
These questions are always a bit strange because you can just solve it yourself by just testing yourself.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find the answer.
Yeah.
There must be some lifestyle thing of why kids get such bad acne these days. I couldn't imagine humans just always got horrific acne at the ages of like 15 to 17.
Yeah, obviously the first thing that jumps to mind is way less exposure to sunlight. Kids are just getting less exposure to sun. They're less activity. They're less healthy. That's surely a contributor.
Probably a nutritional factor as well, right? Eating definitely. Shitty, fucking shitty food.
Not enough vitamins, minerals to regulate, you know, normal hormonal changes. But even if you are eating well and stuff, like some acne is unavoidable. Yeah. Whether it's dairy related or not, like you said, it's individually going to have
plus,
to
plus, it could have been the steroids you were on at that point.
Mm. That's what it was. I forgot. It was the fucking Trenbolone, Anavar, Dianabol tablets that I was taking. That my dad was feeding to me in the morning. All right. So, guys, before we jump into the last part, which we're excited about, this unpaid product review, we are brought to you today by Beyond Macros, talking about getting friends and family into exercise. I reckon Beyond Macros is a great opportunity for someone who does a little bit of exercise and you don't have the time or energy to help them with their nutrition. Just be like, I heard this awesome podcast. They recommend this great nutrition coach, Matt, and he can help you out with any issues that you have or any performance that you want to enhance. So if you know someone that's in your friends and family that you think could use a nutrition coach on an individual level to just eat better or optimize themselves for sports performance, then Matt's your guy, beyondmacros.com.
Yeah, it's so good. Exactly what I said. It's like you will basically get their energy levels up. You get them feeling healthy and get them feeling like pumped.
Mm.
And then at that point, training almost isn't even as important as it used to be.
No.
Because they're in great shape and they're eating and they're really healthy. And they're probably just inevitably going to start doing some training.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I got all this energy now. I feel good. Like, I look good. Like, man, I should try like rock climbing. Like, they're probably just going to do it.
Mm.
But vice versa isn't always true. If you get them in the gym, like they potentially won't get their diet sorted.
Yeah.
So it is an incredible gift you could give someone is getting them on, getting a coach. And you also know it's going to work because there's someone else looking over it, not you.
Yeah.
Whereas most times you give advice, they're not really going to follow it. Then they'll fail and then they'll blame you.
Mm.
So, yeah, if you really want someone to get in shape, it would be a way to do it.
It's a good way to put it. BeyondMacros.com, guys. Go there. Let them know the podcast sent you. All right. So, unpaid product review today. Let's just give this a little caveat. We will be interviewing one of the CEOs and head research scientists of this company in future weeks. So, forgive us for the lack of detail that we're about to go into. But like all good MMP podcasts, we do our best every single time. So, the company that we are reviewing today, now this was sent to us by a good friend of the show, long-term legend, Jordan Bender. Shout out to Jordan Bender from Melbourne. He is now becoming a full-time MMA fighter. And yeah, watch out for him on the UFC circuit in coming years. Now, so Jordan works for this company, MyDNA. And so we were sent a kit to check it out and see what we thought. And now we haven't always, haven't always looked into genetic testing. However, because, well, firstly, the research wasn't there 4 or 5 years ago. It was kind of a new field. I think 23andMe was the only company doing it. But now these sort of companies are emerging. There is more research being done. The markers that they are testing for have more studies back behind it. So Raf and I so Raf's just showing it on the video if you're watching the video. So Raf and I received the kit. It's a flawless website. It's great customer service. The kit just arrives in the mail. You take it out, you swab your inside of your cheeks, all the instructions, you put it in, send it back, and then within a few days, you get a report. Now, Oxford University, I think, is doing a lot of the research behind the genetic markers that are testing this company. So we're very you can be rest assured that a lot of this is very truthful, and there's a lot of hard evidence and anecdotal evidence to go with them. And based off our results in the report, I can almost nod my head at everything and be like, yeah, I can confirm that. Like that sounds accurate to me based off my experience. So I would say the accuracy of this test is very high. Some people also mention, oh, what about blood, this, that? DNA stuff is always set. It never changes. So when you get blood stuff or you get blood work done, that varies. So that can be one day, you know, you can have low testosterone because you didn't sleep or you drank too much alcohol.
It varies every hour.
Yeah, it varies so much that the test, you can't do a lot of changes based off that test. You can't be like, oh, I'm low iron, like I need to go get iron. Or, oh, I'm low this, I need to go get that.
It's just much harder, yeah.
It is much harder. So, and more expensive. And look, these guys are extremely cheap. I would recommend just going there. It's mydna.life. We're not getting paid for this. It's an unpaid product review. Yeah, I recommend getting this done because we've had some fucking awesome stuff come out of this. So, they give you a report based off your results.
So, you get basically a nutrition report, a fitness report, and a caffeine report.
Yeah.
Now, I would say for us, for most listeners, the nutrition report is probably the most useless because you've probably already put a lot of effort into what to eat, right?
I was going to say it's the most useful.
Sorry, not actually the report, the like recommended diet they give you. You probably already know your macros, right? For me, I was like, I'm not changing my macros.
Oh, you mean the macros part?
The macros they give you.
Yeah.
And it's also, and I think Jordan told me the same thing. He's like, hey, like you probably already know what to eat.
Yeah.
But what is really useful is basically you have all these genetic markers in there and they basically tell you like which ones you've got and what you tend towards. And then also what percentage of the population shares that with you. So some of the most interesting stuff, I think, is when you fall into like more of an outlier category. Because when you fall into an outlier category, that's when like generic advice, which tends to always push towards like the majority, like doesn't work for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that when Jordan took me through my results were the ones we like spend the most time on, basically.
Yeah. So let's brush over some nutrition stuff that I got out of it. Now I'm just going to go off the top of my head with what Jordan ran me through without pulling up my full report. But basically, I got some really interesting stuff in there, which kind of confirmed what I already knew. Now this is not to say that just because you know these things, they're right. Because you may just feel a certain way, but you may not be optimized for these things. So the first one was I had the genetic marker that is like I'm optimized for fasting. So if I was to fast, and when I do fast, and this is true, and I don't do it very often because I suck at pushing through hunger pains, but when I fast, I am most optimized. And that's true. If I skip a meal or I miss something and I'm not hungry and I'm just like pushing through, I am very switched on. I'm very sharp. So fasting for me, according to my genetics, is something that can work really well. It's interesting because on the flip side of that, there are people fasting is really bad for them. And they try and fast because, you know, IMF this and, you know, extend lifespan and all this stuff, but they feel absolutely shithouse when they fast. That is not someone that I would recommend fast. They may get some benefits from it, but they need to know that they are not going to be optimized when they're fasting. So again, it's individualized. This is the future of understanding your body and how it works. It's not a blanket statement. You know, fasting is good for everyone necessarily. Yep. Other things that I got was I am more suited to small frequent meals to be optimized as opposed to larger meals. So all that means is that I already sort of know that if I just snack through the day and I eat small meals to get my calories in, I always feel better and I never feel sluggish. And when I do eat a big meal, although I can eat a big meal, I do really struggle. Yeah. What did you have for that one? Did you have big meals or small meals?
Big meals.
Yeah, big meals. Of course.
Unsurprising.
Of course. And then I had
that one. That was probably the coolest bit about it was more just like the predictive bits.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly how it is.
Yeah. I had the one that I'm actually in the percentage of the population, surprisingly, that is the most vulnerable to obesity. But apparently this marker on the other side, it means like, so it's like got to do with how quickly you store fat and that sort of thing. But apparently people that are like in my category, which are like high chances of being obese, also adapt faster to training. So like I can adapt really quickly to training. So as long as I'm training often, like I'm going to suppress the negative side of that genetic marker. But like if I was to stop training or whatever, apparently I would get like, well, I don't know.
More likely to be fat.
Yeah, I would put on fat a lot faster, which is interesting. I've trained my whole life, so it's I've never really known the other side of it. But I thought that was super interesting. What else? What have you got?
Well, in terms of like my training stuff, I was like on the power end of things, a bit less on like the...
What percentage were you?
The slower. I was like 75%
power. 75%
power? Yeah, 31% of the population share this result.
Holy
shit. So more on the power end. And
I was only 61% power.
Very bad on the flexibility end of things.
Oh, yeah?
What like tending towards being tighter.
Okay.
And like more injured. So, yeah, like that stuff was pretty interesting. I would say as well for this stuff is like, I wish, I can be really cool. Say you were like a trainer or a PT and you got a new client to do this. Would give you some pretty cool information, I think, to go off.
You'd skip a lot of, yeah.
Because I already know myself pretty well, but you're never going to have that knowledge of somebody new, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Lived in the body for your whole life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why I really think it would come in. And then also, I think what is cool is it's like, gives you some information into maybe like things you haven't had the time to really investigate yourself.
Mm.
So for instance, like with fasting, it's like you may just never really tried it. And if it says like, hey, it's really not suited to you, it's probably not much point really going down that path at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so some of the other things I got in related to, I have very, very low aerobic fitness naturally, which is pretty accurate. I'm not very good on long distances.
Yep.
Very good in the short, but I'm not 75% power, but it does say your muscles are well equipped to work at full power and grow in size, which is good to know. Injury. I'm like somewhere in the middle. I have a normal soft tissue injury risk, but I'm like way over the other side for recovery.
Oh, you're killing it on recovery here. Bro, this is crazy.
Yeah, I have insane recovery. Muscle soreness after intense exercise is not to be expected as a major issue for you, and you should be able to exercise on most days. Yeah, I don't get DOMS. I don't get crazy DOMS that often. Mm. Whereas like if I do the same training session with someone, like the next day, they'll be like, bro, I'm so sore. And like that, I don't really say that often. The only times I get sore is when you would always expect to get sore. When you haven't trained a muscle group hard for like 10 days, 2 weeks, everybody and then you sore. Just go way too hard in that muscle group. But generally, if I'm just like training most days all the time, like I'll get DOMS like everyone else, but it doesn't stick around for very long. And it's never as bad as the other people in the group. And that's just what I've noticed recently. And also, it's interesting because now that I've stopped doing so much endurance, which obviously is not suited to me, like I've been able to put weight on faster. I've been able to get stronger a lot faster. I'm recovering better. I'm not injured. And so it's actually been, obviously I keep some conditioning in there just for general health and well-being and it's just fun. But when I'm like really towards my essence now, according to my genetics, I'm like progressing at a faster rate than like I ever have.
Yeah, it's very cool in that. I think particularly the way you mentioned that there's like how much time. It's the reverse of generally what you think in CrossFit. So like you actually do, I was talking to Jordan about this as well, you generally are better off training what is really good for you. So whatever you like tend towards on your genetic test, like stamina or heavy lifting, like that is where you should be more spending the bulk of your time for really good results rather than like working really hard on the things you don't naturally tend towards, which is what you'd end up often doing CrossFit.
Definitely.
So I think it's pretty cool. I think with these tests, like sometimes they get a bad rap, and I was guilty of this as well, like expecting too much from the test.
Yeah.
You're like, if you go into these tests, like, oh, this will tell me if I should do like 3 on the way down or 2 on the way down on my back squats. Like, it's not going to tell you that.
Yeah.
It's not going to give you like that much detail at all into your training.
No.
These are like very general biases that your body has.
Yeah.
Naturally.
But ones, if done effectively and enough of them,
could make a massive difference.
Absolutely.
But just like, don't expect the details.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't expect like the exact thing to come out of this. But yeah, it's not a massive time investment and it's not too expensive either. So
yeah.
I think that's basically all I got out of it.
That's it. We'll wrap with just the caffeine one to get you guys interested. Oh, yeah. And then we recommend you go to mydna.life and get a report yourself. I think it's $80. So I think they have, you can order anywhere in the world. So I highly recommend getting it, guys.
And I'm quite sure this is the best one in Australia right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So on caffeine, there's 6 categories: caffeine metabolism, jitters, alertness, sleep disturbance, sleep considerations, and caffeine induction. I'll just give you my report on caffeine metabolism, which is how quickly you can process caffeine. I'm midweight, so I'm fast.
I'm equal with you.
Oh, nice. That's why we always get coffee at the same time. It says caffeine will make you feel a little bit jittery, so I'm halfway in the middle, which is true. If I drink too much, like if I have 1 or 2, I'm sweet, but if I do go over a little bit, I get uneasy.
No, I'm on the low end.
Oh, so you can drink heaps.
I can't.
Do you ever get jittery?
I don't even know what people are talking about when they say that.
That's crazy.
I actually get jittery not drinking it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, like, opposite. We've got to get a coffee, right? So I can relax.
I just need to chill the fuck out right now. I need like a triple espresso.
100%.
On alertness, I've got, I can, for most people with your results, the effects of caffeine should kick in within 30 minutes and may last for 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah, I'm the same. 4 to 6 hours.
On sleep disturbance, I got, you can expect some sleep disturbances from caffeine. I would say that's pretty accurate.
No, I'm actually quite high on sleep disturbance.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, I would say it's very rare that caffeine will destroy my sleep. It's only if it's like really close to sleep time. And then sleep considerations, how, like what's the window of caffeine? Like what's the latest that you can drink caffeine before, you like will affect your sleep? Mine says 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm
the same. What is your two?
Two exactly. Yeah. My last results. Oh, 2 to 3, sorry.
Okay.
I'm 2 to 3. I think, yeah, this test, and what I have heard, I heard it on the Precision Nutrition course as well, is like there is, I think, 10 to 15% of the population that deals with caffeine like so different to everybody else.
Mm.
So that would definitely come up on this test.
Yeah. All right. Interesting stuff. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to this after show. We don't have a Netflix documentary for you this week, but we will double down on it next week.
Well, if you want something to watch, what we are going to watch for next week's show is called Strongland.
Strongland.
And it's basically a series on where all different countries like strongman traditions came from.
Oh, cool.
So it's got an episode on like where the strongman of Iceland came from, nice. Where the strongman of Scotland came from, which I just started watching. So look at that series, Strongland on Netflix.
And guys, last thing, if you are looking after your health every single day like we are making sure that we get a little scoop of activated nutrients every week. Guys, go to activatednutrients.com, use the code OFFERMMP, you'll get 20% off. And look, if you have not subscribed yet and you like the products and you use them, now is your opportunity to go and subscribe to them. I would very much like to, this year at some point, go visit the Activated Nutrients headquarters in Melbourne, which I think we will absolutely do. Make a little Melbourne trip. So just
dive into a whole pool of powder.
Absolutely. And just absorb all the vitamins through our skin and our eyes. So activatednutrients.com, guys, and you can pick yourself up any of their products. Now they have a wide range of products to help anyone at any age. Offer MMP gets you 20% off. All right, thanks, guys.
Enjoy.